Hello, Pastor Alex here. We were so blessed to have a group of men come from Adult and Teen Challenge Ministries out in Milwaukee. ATC is a one-year-long program for men and women who are struggling with addiction and substance abuse. It is Bible-based, Christ-centered, and blessed by Almighty God. He works to bring about 70% of its students to a place of freedom. So for our worship service, we had about 20 guys come to sing and share testimonies of how God has worked in their lives through the program. So we hope that this recording serves as a blessing to you. Thank you and enjoy.
I'm going to read an account from the book of Mark. This is an event that happened many years ago where Jesus went to help somebody who was in a desperate situation. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you are in life, we're all born in a desperate situation, and we need Jesus to come and rescue us. So as I read this story and you hear about this man who was possessed by demons, think of yourself in your sin, being possessed by a power that you can't overcome, but hearing about a Savior who can come and rescue you. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged Jesus earnestly that Jesus would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd violently ran down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might go with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. He said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This is God's word. You may be seated. Before I have the gentleman come up, I just want to say that is the mission of Christ, to come and remove the power of Satan over humanity and to have humanity go and tell others about how Jesus overcame that power. All of us are lost in sin. All of us need a Savior. And only in Jesus Christ can that salvation be found. And I pray that everyone will have their hearts and minds open to hear what things the Lord has done. Amen. Amen.
Rise of the Switchblade really is a story of the origin of Teen Challenge, and it was one man moved with compassion to reach people that were suffering in gang activity, addiction in New York City. It's over 60 years ago now, and it's multiplied the world over. There's 1,400 centers.
Well, I started drinking and smoking at a young age, and I had my son Tyler when I was 18. I was in a relationship that was very physically and emotionally abusive, which led me to taking a variety of pain medication. And then when I was about 23, 24 years old, I started using heroin, and that's when I completely lost control.
You know, the thing about addiction is it doesn't just affect the person that's trapped in addiction. It tears the entire family apart. I don't believe my mom probably slept for years. She would just sit up trying to figure out how to help her son. I wouldn't answer my phone for 6 months at a time, and she was absolutely going out of her mind.
It's been said that there are two pillars in recovery, structure and relationships. And so such a core of Teen Challenge is structure. We're up early in the morning, we're doing chores, we're doing devos, going right into personal studies and group studies. And so it's this whole restructuring of how time is spent in a way that's going to build up, and it's slow incremental change over a 12-month period, and it's awesome.
Every day our students do a great job operating our thrift store. Work therapy is an awesome part of our day. Last year we sold over 85,000 items at our store. Our store and many other social enterprise opportunities are a big part of each day. At Great Lakes Adult and Teen Challenge, we focus on our retail business, picking up and working on donated vehicles, car washes, and local warehouse work. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings." We help our graduates become strong, productive citizens in their communities.
If I can describe my experience at Adult and Teen Challenge in one word, it would be restoration, because my life's been completely restored. My relationship with my family has been restored better than it's ever been before, especially with my son.
If my mom wouldn't have made that phone call, I don't know where I'd be today. I had over a dozen overdoses, and I don't believe I'd even be here today. I'm so thankful that she made that call.
Recently, Evangel University wanted to take a look at graduates, and so they did a study, an independent study, on the success rate of Adult and Teen Challenge. And what they found was 76% of men and women who completed Adult and Teen Challenge remained sober. There is success and there is freedom available through a relationship with Jesus.
If you need help in any way, please consider calling 414-748-HELP. That's 414-748-HELP. Our helpline is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you call, we can help you with the situation you're in and perhaps provide an opportunity for you to enter our residential program for women or enter our residential program for men.
This book, the...
Good morning. It's good to be with all of you, and thank you, family members that came to see your sons, and I'm not sure what the relationship... uncle, I believe. So I don't believe we've ever been at this church before, but we're so happy to be here. And you just heard kind of the background of what Teen Challenge is. But I would like to put it in a little more where the rubber meets the road terms. So I was reading my Bible this morning, my one-year Bible, and I believe I have this verse pretty close, but it was Isaiah 26:3, and it says, "Those that fix their trust on the Lord will abide in his perfect peace." And what happens at Teen Challenge is we come in basically a mess. And through different classes and just relationships with each other and different things that come at us. Because when you're living with 30 men in a dorm room setting, things happen, okay? So, proof of it, okay? So, those who trust in the Lord and fix their trust on Him, that you can have peace through all circumstances. And as a student starts going through the program and starts learning to fix their trust, because when I think of that verse, I also think of Peter walking on the water. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus, but then he turned his gaze to the storm and the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. And that's what happens to many of us. When we get to the program, when things happen, we can take our focus off of the Lord and turn it to the circumstance. But God wants us to put our hope and our vision firmly fixed on Him. And it also reminds me of Hebrews 12:2, which says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the first part of the verse. But that word fixed doesn't mean repair. It means to set permanently, to not gaze away, to want it like a rifle sight that can't be adjusted or something set in concrete. That's how He wants our focus fixed on Him and our belief and our hope fixed on Him. So that's what this program does. It takes chaos and problems that we've had in our life, and it teaches us to fix our hope on Jesus, that He is the solution to those problems. And, you know, I'm looking out at a bunch of people that are well-dressed, and, you know, this is a church that's reserved and a little bit old school, which is really great, because in this world, you're seeing a total disappearance of old values. As a matter of fact, they get made fun of nowadays. And I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to say that see that the world is pining towards evil. But as the world pines towards evil, God's grace will abide all the more. And that's what you're going to see today in these men. So no matter what type of church you come from, if a church, all of you are going to know somebody that's been affected by alcoholism or drug abuse. It's in your communities. It's in your suburbs. And what makes this place having a 75% success rate among people that graduate is that it's centered around Jesus Christ. Other centers, other rehab facilities, they basically ask you to fix yourself with yourself. They teach you how to meditate and self-soothe, which is just selfish. If the drug addict knew how to fix himself, he'd have done it. You know, you can't fix yourself with yourself. That's why we need a Savior. And I'm proud to stand on an organization that teaches Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He's the resurrection, okay? He's everything we need. When we fix our eyes on Him, He's the solution to every problem. So I hope you're blessed today by what you hear. You're going to hear some testimonies and some songs. Thank you for having us.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Mercy's enough. Oh.
Amen. What a father he is. I was born and raised in Prairie du Chien. My name is John. And I was born and raised by a loving mother and father. They did their best to raise me as a child of God. Church every Sunday, Wednesday night, Bible study, quiz meets. They educated on us in everything the Bible had to say, how we should live our lives in a godly manner. At the age of 18, I got myself into a relationship. And through that relationship, I was introduced to meth. My mother told me that I had to end the relationship or move out. So I chose to move out. On the day I was moving out, I remember my dad met me at the door. He told me, he said, "Son, I'll be praying for you every day. I'm going to pray that God lets you hit rock bottom and that you hit it as fast and as hard as you can. So the only way you have to look is up." After that, he gave me a hug and stepped aside, and I moved out. From time to time, I would go home and visit my parents, but I would try to avoid my dad. He usually was uncomfortable because he would tell me about how I was living a life of sin, how everything I was doing was against what the Bible said. He would ask me if I thought that I was pleasing God living the life I was living. So when possible, I would try to avoid him. At the age of 36, I got a message stating that my mom was sick and I should go home. So I returned home to find out that my mom had cancer. I moved back to help my dad care for my mom. And a year later, she passed away from cancer. It wasn't long after that I took off again. Left home without saying a word. And this time, it wasn't just my dad that I left behind, but I had left my daughter, too. No one knew where to find me. They didn't even know where to look. 2 years had gone by. Not a word. And then it happened. I hit my rock bottom. My dad got a call. It was me, sitting in jail. He had been asking for a long time for me to enter this program, Adult and Teen Challenge, to turn around my life, but I wouldn't do it. I would deny it every time. Nope, I don't need that. I don't have a problem. I called him from jail and I said, "Dad, I give up. I'm done. I'll go to Adult and Teen Challenge." Worried about what he was going to say, I was shocked when he was excited. When he said, "What do you need? How can I help you? How can I help you get to this program?" So he got me the application, he sent it in, and it was because of him that I was able to get into the program. One of the things that kept me away from home for so long is I had condemned myself. I was worried about what I would have to hear if I had called my dad. I didn't want to hear, "I told you so. Way to go, son. Way to mess up your life." But he didn't say any of that. Before hanging up the phone that day in jail, I said, "Dad, I need you to pray for me." And he said, "Son, I never stopped." It was at that moment that I realized that for 21 years, this man had been steady praying for me from the day I moved out to the day I called him that day. 21 years, he had not lost his faith in God, that God had the power to pull me out of my addiction. Since coming into Teen Challenge, I've made that my goal, that I could walk in faith the way as he walked in faith, knowing that when I pray to God, I might not always get the answer right away, but God is faithful, and God always does answer. We're encouraged to stand on a verse at Adult and Teen Challenge, and the verse I stand on is Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation in any man that is in Christ, that walks by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Thank you, church.
Praise God. My name is Wesley. I'm 24 years old, and I've been at Adult Teen Challenge for 131 days, not that I'm counting. I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe it.
Amen.
I've been blessed with the opportunity to share with you all a little bit about what God's been doing in my life. So I'm just going to start at the beginning. I was 12 years old when my problems really started. I was stubborn, narcissistic, and I was extremely sensitive as a youth. But still, my parents always love me and always support me in whatever I'm doing. When I was about 12 years old, I decided that my parents were untrustworthy because they told me stuff like, don't do drugs and don't have sex before marriage. And I thought they were keeping all the best things in life from me. This led me to a point where I was miserable, I was lost, and I didn't see a way out. This led me to a 10-year search for life, meaning, and peace. And looking back, I can see that I was really looking for God. I didn't know it yet, so I searched the world. I looked for life in cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, the party, codependent relationships with girls that were just as lost as I was. And surprisingly, this led me to a place where I had everything I thought I wanted in this life. I had my own place, I had vehicles, toys, you know, all the drugs and alcohol that I cared to partake in. I had a girlfriend that would, you know, do whatever I asked her to, and still I woke up every morning and I was just miserable. One day, and specifically, I lost all hope in the future. I realized that there was no point in further pursuing the things of this world, because each further achievement unto myself would lead to another letdown. I accepted the fact that I had failed to find life by doing what was right in my own eyes. It was at that moment that the Lord opened my eyes, and God showed me that the only way to true life, peace, and purpose was through complete submission to Him. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in the fall of 2021. So, praise God. In my months before, I should say, I started my Christian walk poorly. I was living to honor God, not myself, but like I said, I did it poorly and with much struggle. The Lord brought many people into my life to lead me and help guide me in my pursuit of Himself. Two of these specifically were my pastor, Matt McMorris, and my dear friend and brother in Christ, Jamie Went. And in the months before I attended Teen Challenge, I started to grow increasingly frustrated with God and myself. I had some sin issues that I couldn't get under control, and this led me to a place where I was again drinking and drugging to escape reality. And when my brothers in Christ saw this, they told me that I needed to get some long-term help. They explained to me that I had never matured emotionally. I had been using substances from a young age to regulate my emotions, and I needed some time and space to grow into the man that God wanted me to be. Only by the Spirit of God working inside of me did I agree with them, and they facilitated my entry into Adult Teen Challenge. in my time here, God has strengthened my relationship with Him tremendously. He has shown me a peace and a hope in the future that I never thought was possible. I didn't think it existed, and I've been able to take a long, focused look on Jesus, and Jesus has been healing my hurts and breaking the chains of addiction off of my life. The scripture that spoke the most to me in my time here has been Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to test and approve God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thank you all for your time, and please keep us all in your prayers. Thank you.
Church, wow, beautiful crowd today. I've never done this before, so bear with me. A little bit of accent. My name's Tracy. I was born in Kenton, Ohio, raised in Dallas, Texas, on the streets. But we'll start back in Ohio. I was born November 30th, 1973, and you know, God wasn't in my home like a lot of other people. Both my mom's sisters own bars, and that's where it started for me. Started drinking at age 9 or 10. I was diagnosed with ADHD. My mom couldn't handle me. I remember age 9 to 10, I was in a boys' home. She couldn't deal with me. My mom, she smoked marijuana. They all partied a lot. We just grew up wild. I remember coming home from school one day, and her and my cousin had everything packed up in the house, what they wanted, and we went to Florida. From my brick home to Florida, and I hated it there. I really did. So I went to work. I wouldn't go to school. She said, "Well, go to work then." So I went to work picking cucumbers on the fields with the migrant workers, and I didn't stay there long. My cousin, she just moved back from Mexico, so I told my mom, I said, "Well, I want to go to Texas and live with my cousin." She said, "Well, okay." So I got on a bus and went to Longview, Texas, and I was smoking pot by then, drinking, smoking cigarettes. That's where I got introduced to, 14 years old, to IV and drugs. My first big IV drug was cocaine, or methamphetamine, then cocaine. But it just was downhill from there. We moved from Longview. My mom followed. We moved from Longview to Plano in 88. And when I was just a child out of control with a habit, it was really bad. Sad. My brother moved to Texas. It was a mess. It was a total mess for many years. By the time I was age 18, the police, they knew my social security number. That's how many times they I had dealings with them as far as getting in trouble. I was sent to prison the first time at age 18. I got out, didn't do long. Just kept spiraling downwards. Kept using drugs hard. I met my first wife and had a daughter by her. And she got taken away, came to Wisconsin, Green Bay. But, long story short, it was just drugs all my life. I'm 49 years old, and that's just all I cared about was doing drugs. I remember in 88, and we lived in an apartment complex next to a church, and I would hear the music, and I would go sit outside the church, and that's when God started working in my life. They would come outside and ask me to come in the church, and I just wouldn't. But finally, one day I did, and the pastor there, I talked my mom into coming, and she got saved in that church. But she took off. They loved her. They treated her, like she was their own. It was a church just like this, a little small church in Plano. But my drug use was just totally out of control. I lived to use drugs. I was a junkie, straight junkie. The worst I've ever thought about or seen in my life. But I got in trouble with the law. I met my second wife. I was with her for 10 years. I worked. I learned, I worked. I like going to work, but I couldn't hold down a job due to drugs. But met my second wife, and we went a couple different states for work, and I ended up was in a police chase in New Mexico. They chased me from Clovis to New Mexico to Littlefield, Texas. I had a lot of drugs in the car, and I wasn't going to stop until it was out of the car, and that's how it happened. I ended up doing almost 3 years over that, and I got out and tried to do AA, tried to go to a secular drug rehab, never worked. I left my second wife. We got a divorce. She didn't divorce. She divorced me a year later, but after I left. But I went and stayed with my mom. She had a big piece of land, and I moved over there in a camper and just doing wrong. So my mom, she got sick. She had heart trouble. She got sick, and she went to the hospital, and I talked her into moving. And we got a place together. I told her, "I'm going to be good. I'm going to quit doing drugs and keep on going to church." Well, the pastor, the church that she got saved in, she started going to his son's church in the town. And I started going to that church, and pastor and I became good friends, but I just couldn't quit doing drugs. It just kept on going, get worse every day. You know, in 2020, I got pulled over, and I had some drugs in my back pocket, and I totally forgot about them. And they arrested me. I made bond, and, you know, long story short, in 2021, I buried my mom. She died, and I told my pastor, he was right there, and I told him, I said, I'm done. You know, I'm out on bond. I know I'm going to prison for a while, and when I get out, I need some help. And he said, Adult Teen Challenge. He said, but you can't go to Dallas. You know, I've got to get you out of the state. And it's been the hardest thing, you know, because I left everybody. I have family down south, but I just, they're criminals. They're drug addicts and criminals. And, you know, I come into this program 6 months ago, and I was scared. I didn't know what to expect, but I knew that, you know, I did 15 months, and I read the Bible, and I read the Bible 7 times last year, you know, and I witnessed when I was in prison, you know, to who I could. And I come into this program with a lot of mental problems, and here I stand today, 6 months later, 2 more months, I'll be sober for 2 years, and I'll be walking with God for 2 years. That's my story. And Jesus is Lord, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you, guys.
Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Come on, let the church say amen right here. As y'all can see, they kept me for the anchor. I'm the loud mouth in the house. But it never ceased to amaze me, because what you all are hearing now, I hear every day. I saw these men when they first came into the home. And all of us were in a position where we needed Christ. There are some things that weren't mentioned here this morning. Before I start my testimony, because I got a big mouth, y'all, I want to share this here. Brother John, who shared his testimony, see, God said, I didn't come for just you, but the entire household. How many can say amen? And this morning, John's dad and his daughter in here. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. I think he mentioned, this is first time I testified. Tracy, I want to say you did a great job. Yes, God would be proud of you. I know your mom would be proud of you. And last but not least, my brother Cam. Cam, raise your hand. Cam's sister, his mom, his nieces. I've met his other sister. They're here today. Why? Because God said, I'm going to bring the whole household together. Amen. And that's what Teen Challenge is all about. Getting the hurting, the lost, and the bound, and pulling them together. My name is Terry. I'm 50 years old. I also had a rough upbringing. I come up on the west side of Chicago. I'm here by way of Alabama. I was a 27-year heroin addict and alcoholic. And by the grace of God, I'm here today, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I've been in this program now going on 10 months, but I gave my life to the Lord back in 2006 at another ministry that I was a part of. And I did real good for about 7 years. I got clean. I got sober. I got married. Things were going pretty good, but I was missing something. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. And it wasn't until I came here into Teen Challenge where God started doing something in my life. But I had to go through some trials and some tribulations to get where I am today. I spent 19 years of my life in prison. I was shot and left for dead in a robbery gone bad. But God had a plan for my life. He had a purpose for my life and for the life of these guys that you see standing behind me. It's not hard. It's not hard to say no to the enemy when he's got a hold of you, amen? But it's hard to say yes to God because he wants something good for you. Well, I come to find out that without Christ, I'm nothing. The man you see today ain't the man you would have saw 9.5 months ago. I come in Teen Challenge tore up from the floor up, beat up from the feet up, no hope, no direction in my life. Children have said they're done. Wife, my relationship with my wife on the brinks of being broken up. I was called home back in September of last year. My mother-in-law passed away. I left the program to go and be there for my wife during her mom's funeral. And it was a year ago Friday that in the process of going up there, my wife fell dead in my arms of a massive heart attack. A year, 2 days ago. But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. How many can say amen? In the process of this year, my daughter and I, we didn't have a relationship. But again, I say, God said, I'm coming to get everybody. Me and my daughter now have a relationship after 27 years. She's finally calling me dad. She's finally saying, I love you. And it ain't nothing I did, but it's the goodness and the grace of the Lord Almighty. Amen. I want to thank God for my salvation. I want to thank Pastor Alex and the fellowship of family here for having us here. It's indeed a pleasure. We get a joy out of doing this here. And like I say, I'm the big mouth of the house, you know. But I love what I'm doing. I love what God is doing in my life. I thank God that he raised us up out of the miry clay, that he placed our feet on solid ground, that he gave us an opportunity to get our lives together, to get our families together, to bring our children here into the house of God. I can go on and on and on about how the devil beat me up and all of this and that there, but this is a day for the glory of God. God saw something in me I didn't see in myself. A lot of them probably didn't see in me. Probably some of them still don't see it in me today. But praise the Lord. I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. I love them. I do my best to love some of them. Again, it ain't easy. But nothing in life is easy. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. I'm fighting for my salvation today. I'm fighting in prayer for the brothers behind me, that we all make it. I see 23 faces of graduates up here, men of God that are going to one day go on to be something in life. Might be pastoring, might be singing, salesmen, who knows what the case may be. But it's only because of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Amen? Come on, amen? Well, listen, I'm going to close right here. As you all heard, we're expected to stand on a scripture. And I wasn't going to repeat it, but because I see these men behind me, because of the joy that I have in my life, I'm going to stand on the scripture that I always stand on. And it's found in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. And this is the Lord says, I will go before you. I will level the mountains. I will cut through bars of iron and break down walls of bronze. I will give you treasures out of darkness, hidden in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. Ladies and gentlemen, treasures out of darkness. Thank you for having us.
Well, the men are going to sing one more song, and I'm going to tell you how you can support us. But one thing that I want to say before that is there's a common thread through all these stories, and it reminds me of the day that Jesus met Peter on the shores of Galilee. Peter had been out fishing all night. That's what he did for a living. He was very good at it, but this particular night, he came back to the shore exhausted at the end of himself because he had caught nothing. He did everything he knew to try to get the results that he wanted, but he couldn't do it in his own power. and something magical happened on that day. Jesus, the crowd was pressing in on him, and Jesus saw Peter get out of the boat. He got out of the boat to mend his nets. He had given up. He said, I'm done. I'm at the end of myself. And that's the common thread that all of us had, is that we have to get to the end of ourselves before God or Jesus can get in the boat. And when Jesus gets in the boat, he can do in a moment what we've been trying to do all our lives, with that significance that every person behind me was reaching for and striving for through their life, through different means that didn't fulfill, didn't bring any peace or joy. When Jesus gets in the boat, he can give you that purpose that we've all been looking for, that significance. So the first way that you could support us is through prayer. Every single person that's standing behind me is here as a result of prayer. As John testified, his father out there praying for him for many, many years, which is just a heartwarming thing. My family did the same thing for the better part of a decade. Secondly, I don't know how often you get to Milwaukee, but we have a thrift store there where we, a resale store. Okay. So we, have the best prices in town. And if you get there, we will, and you say that we did a ministry, we'll hook you up even better. But, the third way is, we have a tow truck and we take cars that are donated to us. You guys are a little far away, so it'd have to be a pretty good car. for us to make the trip, because our tow truck might not make it back, really, to tell you the truth. So, then another way is by purchasing the things that we have out there. And I have to tell you that initially when I was asked to talk about ways of supporting us and I had to speak of the items that we're selling out in the lobby, I thought to myself, boy, are we making God's house a house of merchandise? And I was a little like, boy, I don't know if I should, how I feel about promoting this, you know. But then when I kind of researched it a little bit more and asked the Holy Spirit what he thought about it, what I got back from him was that the people that were selling goods in the temple, they basically put a financial block in front of God and the common man. Like, you have to get through this money barrier to get to God. But what that stuff out there represents is it represents people being able to come into a program for free and to have hope. So when you purchase those crosses, you're letting people like this come in that have nowhere else to go, to have food, to have a bed, and to be surrounded by people that have their best in mind. And I have to tell you, most drug and alcohol rehab centers, nobody really cares. As a matter of fact, you're just surrounded. You get more contacts on who to buy from, who's got the better stuff, and you're surrounded by people that really don't want your best at heart. So here they do. We all do. That's, we're a team, we're a family, and we work together. So then lastly, we're going to have a banquet in, I believe it's going to be in Milwaukee this year, not in Waukesha, but Tim Tebow is going to be the keynote speaker, and we have information available for that. That'll be Thursday night, the 26th of October, and there's still tables available. We have the information out there. And I just want to thank you again for having us today. Thank you very much.
Soul on fire, there was no doubt. Bible believer. You brought me blessings out of a tragedy. You turned my old song into a symphony. And with your spirit living inside of me, I'm a new creation.
This recording was a blessing to you. If you want more information about the ministry, you can check them out on their website at GreatLakesATC.com. That's GreatLakesATC.com. Thanks, and may the Lord bless you.